Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Hal Kemp, Paul Specht, Norman Long, and the Corkscrew, and play some records at random. Today, March 27th, marks the birth, exactly 107 years ago, that would be 1904, in Marion, Alabama, of bandleader Hal Kemp. James Harold Kemp started playing piano at 6, switched to trumpet, alto sax, and clarinet, and was leading his own group while attending high school in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Kemp family had moved in 1918. In 1922, Hal entered the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where he formed a jazz group called the Carolina Club Orchestra, which toured Europe and recorded for OK. In the mid-20s, he formed the Hal Kemp Orchestra, and their big break came when Otto Roth booked them at his Black Hawk restaurant in Chicago in 1932, and their residency there led to broadcasts over WGN and the Mutual Network. Engagements at premier hotels followed, and they received national exposure from a series of sponsored radio shows, including the Chesterfield Program, the Quaker Oats Program, and the Gulf Gas Program. Deanne Janis was the first of several female singers to be featured in the band. Others were Maxine Gray, Nan Wynn, Judy Starr, and Janet Blair, and Alice Faye was featured on the Chesterfield shows in 1937. Gus Mayhew, Skinny Innes, and Saxie Dowell were the featured male vocalists. During the band's 15-year lifespan, they recorded more than 400 sides for Brunswick, Columbia, and Victor. For the band's California debut, they were booked at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles and the Mark Hopkins Hotel in San Francisco. But while commuting between those two venues, Kemp was involved in an automobile accident in heavy fog and died in a hospital 2 days later on December 21, 1940. Here's Hal Kemp. Thank you.
that I could ever care the way that I do. Till I look into your sweet eyes of blue, oh baby. Now I never had a thrill till I held your hand. I don't know what it is, but I understand that it's something new, it's different, it's grand, oh baby. When you kiss, I know I miss a beat or two in my heart, but I don't mind, there's nothing more to live for. What if I should die, travel too well? I would have to climb the heavenly stair, and wouldn't it be hell if you weren't there, oh baby?
Al Kemp and his orchestra, March 13, 1929, and That's What I Call Heaven, written by the trio of Alfred Salmon, George Brown, and Dale Wimbrough. Composer, radio artist, and writer Dale Wimbrough was born June 6, 1895, and is best known for his 1934 poem, The Guy in the Glass. He died in 1954. The vocalist on That's What I Call Heaven was Skinny Ennis. Skinny Ennis was the vocalist once again on Oh Baby, recorded June 1, 1928. Oh Baby was written by Owen Murphy, who also brought us The Roses Brought Me You, and he's the hottest man in town. Our next segment will feature Paul Specht, who helped Hal Kemp's Carolina Club Orchestra secure an engagement to play at London's Piccadilly Hotel, which led to a recording session with Columbia Records' British division. We began our tribute to Hal Kemp with one of those records made in August of 1924, Charleston Cabin, written by Roy Reber. Roy Reber also composed One Lost Pal and Come to Me in 1924, not to be confused with Come to Me, written in 1931 by De Silva, Brown, and Henderson. I'm Glenn Robison, not to be confused with Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, March 24th, marked the birth in 1895 in Sinking Springs, Pennsylvania, of Paul Specht. He came from a musical family. His father was a band leader and church organist and was quite well known in eastern Pennsylvania, and another relative was a bugler for General George Custer. Paul received formal musical training, studying violin, piano, and music theory, and he was a member of the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. In 1914, he formed his own group called Specht Society Serenaders, which played at the Fowler Hotel in Lafayette, Indiana, and which traveled to Illinois, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan, and New York. In September of 1920, his orchestra became the first full dance band to be on the radio when they were broadcast over WWJ in Detroit. The band's first recording was made in 1922, and the full band made about 200 sides for Columbia, with another 70 sides by the band within a band known as the Georgians. In 1924, the band toured Europe, and that same year, Specht formed Consolidated Booking Exchange. He also wrote a number of songs, including Moonlight on the Ganges and Who Takes Care of the Caretaker's Daughter. He made his last recordings in 1932 and turned most of his attention to the booking business, although he did lead a band during the 1939 New York World's Fair. Paul Specht died in New York on April 11, 1954. Here's Paul Specht. Thank you.
might be the only sweet daddy with whom they could go. If all the stars were pretty babies and I was the man in the moon.
Specht and his orchestra and That Wonderful Something is Love, written by Louis Alter and Arthur Freed. That song is sung in the 1929 MGM picture Untamed by Robert Montgomery in his first role as a leading man and Joan Crawford in her first talkie. Before that, we heard vocalist Johnny Morris and If All the Stars Were Pretty Babies from January 27, 1927. That was preceded by an instrumental version made for the South American market of I'm Sailing on a Sunbeam, waxed November 26, 1929. We began our tribute to Paul Speck with Johnny Morris once again on Honey Bunch, written by Cliff Friend. In 2 days, that record will be having its 85th birthday. This very day, March 27th in 1860, a United States patent was issued to M.L. Byrne, B-Y-R-N, of New York City for a device which he called a covered gimlet screw with a T-handle, and which we refer to as a corkscrew. That reminds me of W.C. Fields' line in My Little Chickadee.
During one of my treks through Afghanistan, we lost our corkscrew. Compelled to live on food and water.
Will you play cards?
Several days. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Anyway, to commemorate M.L. Byrne's invention, here are some rapidly rotating records about wine, which you generally need a corkscrew to open.
Kiss and whisper this, will you be true to me? So take your cup of wine and take your share of song. Your little moment of youth and love, may it linger long. So when your heart grows old and all the world goes wrong, you'll have your dreams of love and wine and song. Thank you.
sparkling and glowing, through my heart is flowing the champagne wine.
We begin that Enological set with Joe Reichman and his orchestra and a wine song. The vocalist on that September 24, 1934, Banner 78 was Paul Small. The Sweetest Things in Life, also known as Wine Song, was composed by Werner Heyman, with lyrics by Gus Kahn, and is in the 1934 Charles Boyer Loretta Young picture Caravan. Next, it was Sparkling Wine with the Champagne Waltz. That was Joe Green's Novelty Orchestra with Zora Lehman providing the vocal on February 27, 1934. You haven't heard Zora Lehman's name on the show before, but you've heard Frank Luther's. She and Frank Luther were married on May 8, 1920, and they frequently performed together. Zora Lehman is best known for her recording of 7 Years with the Wrong Man. We finish up with Isham Jones and his orchestra and Bubbles in the Wine. The vocalist on that March 7, 1934 recording was Joe Martin. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL Avalon, in New Zealand on the Wellsford Country Radio Network, 105.8 FM, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, shamrockradio.com, and on iTunes. Yesterday, March 26, marked the birth in 1893 in Deal, Kent, England, of Norman Long. He started out working as an insurance salesman, and it's unclear how he made the transition to show business, but his first professional stage appearance was around March of 1914. He served in World War I, but resumed his entertainment career after the war, where his catchphrase was a song, a smile, and a piano. He was one of the earliest radio performers in England, and was first heard on the BBC on November 28, 1922, but they changed his catchphrase to a song, a joke, and a piano, their logic being that you couldn't hear a smile on the radio. He began recording in 1925, and many of his records contain political references, strong social commentary, observations about ordinary life, and some were a little blue and were listed by the Federation of Commercial Broadcasters as unsuitable for broadcasting. He made his last recordings in 1941, and here are three that are quite suitable for broadcasting.
I know a wonderful garden where I found contentment at last. For it's there I recall when the dark shadows fall, all those dear happy days that are past. Oh, that wonderful garden of mine, it's a haven of rest just divine. In the cool of the evening I stand at the gate, and I list to the tomcat's love call to its mate. For that little back garden of mine has a charm that I cannot define. In the winter my garden was chilly and drear, and I missed all the birds with their songs sweet and clear. But the flies round the dustbin show summer is near, in that little back garden of mine. Oh, that wonderful garden of mine, it's a haven of rest just divine. For all nature is still, there is no sign of life, but the sound of the next door man nagging his wife. In that little back garden of mine, when the day's work is done, I recline. In the cool of the night, in my chair neath the trees, and in pleasant reflection, I sit there at ease. While the smell from the gasworks is borne on the breeze to that little back garden of mine. Dear, in my wonderful garden, I live all our dear days anew. Every garment and cloud when the washing's hung out seems to bring back a memory of you. Oh, that wonderful garden of mine, it's a haven of rest just divine. And the dust in the air marks the advent of spring, for the beating of carpets is now in full swing. In that little back garden of mine, where the washing looks gay on the line, there are flaming pajamas of striped violet, and some pink camisolas, the nicest I've met. But I do miss that piece of old red flannelette from that little back garden of mine. Oh, that wonderful garden of mine, it's a haven of rest just divine. There's a dear little stream that runs down to the road, for it started last night when the bath overflowed. In that little back garden of mine, it's a garden of joy when it's fine. There's a nice show of onions, a treat to the eye. When I look at onions, I think with a sigh of that last kiss you gave me when we said goodbye in that little back garden of mine.
Aren't we rather welfare? Aren't we all select? Absolutely healthy, cultured and correct. Thoroughly expensive, blood precisely blue, clientele extensive. county, too. Oh, we're really most delightful people. Aren't we all? Living in the suburbs, in a house of new design, busy talking platitudes and pouring out the wine, sitting with the blinds up every evening when we dine. Oh, we're really most delightful people. Aren't we all? Motoring down to Brighton in an up-to-date saloon, perfectly upholstered, every tire a new balloon, paying the installments every Monday afternoon. Oh, we are really most delightful people. Aren't we all? Wintering at Naples, simply all the rage, furnishing at Maples. Never, Mr. Drage. Pay the highest price, the best or none at all. Never buy an ice from Mr. Wall. Oh, we're really most delightful people. Aren't we all? Crawling to the theatre when we should be in our seat, chatting with acquaintances of things we've had to eat, arriving late and stumbling over everybody's feet. Oh, we're really most delightful people. Aren't we all? Doing the academy, so crowded, what a shame. Yes, my dear, a laborer, I know it by the frame. Wondering if Tom Webster really did it all the same. Oh, we are really most delightful people. Aren't we all? Chatting with the vicar when he comes to tea at four. Condemning the intemperance one finds among the poor. And wondering if he's seen the bottled beer behind the door. Oh, we are really most delightful people. Aren't we all?
We sung the plays of soldiers, yes, and sailors on the sea, about their deeds of daring you have heard. But there's many other heroes in this land of ours today, regarding which you've never heard a word. For instance, take the milkman, I'm surprised. His dairy deeds are never recognized. There's never been the song about the milkman, about the milkman. Why not? Who is it every morning like a hero and a man? Goes round and round the houses with his cow juice in his can. He always plays his part, he leaves a pint or quart, while you're in bed and sleeping all sublime. And if it wasn't for the milkman, how would some of us get home? He's one of England's heroes every time. And there's never been the song about the postman, about the postman. Why not? Look at all the letters he delivers without heed. Look at all the postcards that he has to stand and read. The Christmas cards he brings, with bills and other things. He comes and gets his Christmas box in time. Then he brings a yellow envelope that's got OHMS on. He's one of England's heroes every time. And there's never been the song about the doctor, about the doctor. Why not? Who is it has to listen in to people's hearts and lungs? Feel their blinking pulses, yes, and look at all their tongues. He doesn't boast or brag, he brings his little bag. Upstairs he goes in manner most sublime. And he comes downstairs and says, congratulations, sir, it's twins. He's one of England's heroes every time. And there's never been the song about the policeman, why not? Who is it every evening when the nights are getting dark, who bravely faced the unknown dangers lurking in the park? By holding up his hand, he can hold up all the strand. Sometimes he risks his life in search of crime. And he'll knock you up to say your window's open if he's thirsty. He's one of England's heroes every time. And there's never been the song about the chimney sweep, about the chimney sweep. Why not?
Just think of all the perils of the work he has to do. He daily risks infection because he's always near the flu. Outside he's black, but oh, he's the whitest man I know when he's had a wash and cleaned off all the grime. And if he didn't sweep your chimneys, Father Christmas couldn't come. He's one of England's heroes every time. And there's never been a song about the taxi driver. About the taxi driver. Why not? He always does his duty, but he never gets much thanks. He never gets promotion, cause he's always in the ranks. To a couple, he's a boon. If they want a place to spoon, to paradise, he'll drive them all sublime. And if you only think what he could see if sometimes he turned round, he's one of England's heroes every time.
Well, there you have three from Norman Long. We began with That Little Back Garden of Mine, written by Norman Long and Frank Eaton, and recorded April 26, 1929. Next, we heard Aren't We All from the same session, and we finished up our salute to Norman Long with Hidden Heroes, recorded a few days later on May 1st, 1929. We're going to finish up the show with a new segment we call At Random. The records in the collection are in a database, so each side is assigned a sequential number as they're added. I used a random number generator to select several records from the collection for this segment, so there's no rhyme nor reason to the tunes in this set, and they may not flow all that well, but we'll see what happens. The first record the random number generator came up with is by Fred Culley and his Royal York Hotel Orchestra. Thank you. We begin this final segment of the show with Fred Culley and his Royal York Hotel Orchestra and Telling It to the Daisies, recorded in Montreal, Canada in the fall of 1929. Fred Culley was one of four musical brothers, two others of whom, along with Fred, were with Fred Waring's band at one time or another. In the early 20s, Fred Culley was musical director of Shea's Hippodrome, and in 1925 he joined Fred Waring as assistant conductor and stayed with the band until Waring's death in 1966. In 1929, Fred Culley returned to Toronto and his band opened the Royal York Hotel. Next, it was Al Turk's orchestra, recording for OK in Chicago on June 17, 1926, and Mean Man, written by Al Turk, Dee Harris, and Earl Hayden, who may have been members of the band. That sounds like an acoustical recording, but it is an electrical made using OK's primitive True Tone process. We finished up with Ambrose and his orchestra, January 15, 1931, with Hoagy Carmichael's Stardust. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll tune in or click in again next week for more toe-tapping music of the 1920s and 30s. And as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.